Go with me, please, to the Proverbs, book of Proverbs, to the 30th chapter. I have dealt with half this chapter, or approximately half of the chapter. The chapter deals with matters for meditation. We look at the 30th chapter, and verse 1 says that it's the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uchal. So verse 1 of the 30th chapter tells us that these are the words of the sayings of Agur, son of Jacob. We don't know very much about Agur. We know he was writing to Ithiel and Uchal. Some scholars believe that he is one who lived during the time of Solomon, and we know almost nothing about him except his name means collector. And it would appear that God used him to collect what might have been some of the writings of Solomon. We don't know for sure, but we do know they're inspired scripture because they made the canon of scripture. And God put them in the book for mind your admonition. And we go through the 30th chapter with these various somewhat unusual matters that we should meditate on and give consideration to. I'm not going to re-preach what I have covered, but in the first 9 verses, Agur gives his thoughts about his character. And in verse 10, he gives us some warnings. And in verses 18 and 19, he gives us 4 things Agur does that's beyond his understanding. We come tonight to verse 21. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 21 and deal with the remainder of the chapter, the Lord willing. So if you are at verse 21 of the 30th chapter, would you say amen? Amen. For 3 things the earth is disquieted, and for 4 which it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigneth, and a fool when he is filled with meat. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. So what do we find that the text begins to talk to us about? Verse 21 said 3 things, in fact 4, which the earth cannot bear. It really causes the earth, if you will, please, to tremble. That's what's meant by that, it cannot bear. These are things that are great, meaning in significance. And when these things occur, it's just almost more than earth can bear. So what are they? He says, first of all, in that verse, in verse 22, a servant when he reigns. A servant who, in other words, becomes a king. There's something about that that's almost too great for the earth to bear. Wonder why that is. You and I may never understand the full significance of that. But we do know that when one has been a slave and is made a king, that there can be a lot of pent up animosity. There can be one who comes to reign like that and takes out his vengeance on the people. It is highly, highly unusual that one who was a slave becomes a king. And he said, I want you to ponder that. I want you to think about that. You say, Pastor, why would he tell us that? Well, generally, when the Bible tells us to think on these things, it means there is a lot more there than you and I recognize on the surface. And if you will give consideration to what the Bible says in this and begin to reflect upon people who sometimes got placed in positions that was over their head, you think about the difficulty that it brought to the planet Earth and to many of the people therein. There is such a thing as being put in a position beyond your intelligence. There is such a thing as gaining something you thought you wanted, and when you got it, like the dog that chased the car to catch the tire, and when he caught it, it wasn't quite exactly what he thought it was going to be. I had a neighbor one time who, very good friends, his own dog would run every car, including his. And he did everything he knew to break that dog. And he decided, I'm going to fix his wagon. Now, back in those days, you didn't have PETA. You know, people for the ethical treatment of animals. Now, some of us are members of PETA of a different sort, people who eat tasty animals. That's who we are. So he decided, I'm taking the hubcap off my car and I'm going to get a croaker sack or gunny sack or toe sack, wherever part of the country you came from, whatever name y'all give those burlap sacks. He got one. And he took some of his lugs off and made little holes to fit over the lug and tighten the nuts back and decided, I believe I'll see if he likes that. And as he went down the road a ways with that sack doing this way, sure enough, here comes his dog on his car, and he caught the sack, and he never wanted to catch another one. Because once he bit into it, it's hard to unbite out of a sack like that. So he fixed the wagon on his dog of running cars. He caught something he only thought he wanted. Don't you suppose there would be in most anybody's heart, particularly if you've been a slave, you look at those who serve as kings and think, wow, man, I'd love to have that for a while. Let me tell you something. Always, young people, listen to me. Pray and ask God to give you as much as you can handle. And don't ever desire something that might not be the will of God for you. Getting something that God doesn't want you to have. And you think, well, I can do that. Folks, I can also serve as the umpire for the World Series. I mean, I really can. Y'all don't believe it, but I can. I serve best from my living room looking at the television. But if I was put down on the field, I couldn't a bit more do that than a man to moon. You see, it's easy to what we call armchair umpire, or armchair quarterback. And so he said it causes the earth to tremble when a slave becomes a king. He probably can't handle it. That's the thought. Well, there's a second thing it causes the earth to tremble. Let's look back at verse 22. Not only for a servant when he reigns, but for a fool when he's filled with meat. So a wed-fell fool causes the earth to tremble. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, have you ever seen a person that you thought was just a complete idiot? Well, if he's well-fed, what do you suppose he's going to do? All he can and more, because a person who's well-fed is generally at good health and good energy, and he's going to last. And there's been times that you and I have known somebody, and we've never wanted to pray something difficult on them because we always pray that God would give them what they need, and God knows what that is. But we thought, dear Lord, if they could just have a little dose of so-and-so, that might help them calm down. And when you've got a well-fed fool, it just causes the earth to tremble. Folks, you would like to think that people who are filled with true foolishness and idiocy didn't feel so well and wouldn't be at their game 24/7. But have you noticed sometimes that the emissaries of the devil never get tired? Have you noticed that? I mean, they stay up all night. And the church pushes just to see if they can get enough workers for Sunday school for an hour and a half on Sunday. And so he said it causes the earth to tremble when you have a well-fed fool. But that's not the only thing that causes earth to tremble. Look at verse 23. For an odious woman when she's married. Now, an odious woman is not one that did not use her deodorant. Not an odorous woman. An odious woman who's married is a hateful woman. That causes the earth to tremble. Oh, my goodness. Your pastor's comment about divorce is this: we need to preach it straight, clear, concise, and say exactly what God said about it and warn the generations it's coming behind us and not soft soap divorce. But having said that, we ought to be a lot kinder to divorcees. Folks, if you only knew the hate that some women have lived with men, and some of the hate men have lived with women, you'd be a lot kinder if you'd have known what they went through when they ended up in a divorce. It causes the earth to tremble when there's a married woman full of hate. Y'all getting quiet again like you did this morning. Hope we don't have any of them in the room tonight. Also in verse 23, after he said an odious woman when she's married, he said, here's one more thing that causes the earth to tremble. A handmaid that is heir to her mistress. What he's talking about there is that the servant woman, you know, that's who the handmaid is, who really replaces the wife in the household. Folks, we had a little bit of that one time. Y'all remember that guy's name was Abraham. And at the suggestion of his wife, who for momentarily time had lost her mind, they were going to help God out, and she wanted him to go in and lie with the handmaiden. And in that moment, she replaced the position that only that wife, Sarah, was to have. And it absolutely caused a problem that we are living with this very night. And when he says here in that verse, a handmaid, verse 23, that is heir to her mistress. God never planned for a servant woman in the house to become the mistress of the man. And when that happens, as it has happened more times than can be counted, it absolutely causes the earth to tremble. Those are four things that causes the earth to tremble. And the Holy Spirit, through Agur, said, these are matters you need to meditate on. Now, look at verses 24 through 28. Now, here are four small things that are very wise. So, let's look at verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Number one, the ants. They are people, which has to do with creatures, that are not strong. You'd agree with that. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So ants plan ahead. That's why they are exceedingly wise. It's a wise thing to plan ahead. Would you agree with that? Then he says not only ants, but he says then conies. We're not familiar with conies as the Hebrew Bible talked about it. It's really known by some as rock badgers, or really some refer to it in the Hebrew language as rock rabbits. They were animals about like a rabbit that would build their, well, let's see what he said. They are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. Now, why do you suppose they made their houses in the rocks? Because they are an animal that recognizes danger. And they build their houses in a protective place. Would you agree with me that the ants, who should be commended for planning ahead, it's also a word of commendation and wisdom that we ought to be those who recognize danger and seek to live protected from it. Amen. What's the next one? He said, verse 27, the locusts, like those old, looks like big grasshoppers. They have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Now, what do the locusts do? Did you ever see an army of locusts come through? Folks, what the locusts do, whether we like what they do or not, they work together. And he said it's very wise when you work together. Plan ahead with the ants. Recognize dangers with the rock rabbits. And then with these locusts, work together. And after he says what he does about the locusts, notice that he makes the statement in verse 28, the spider takes hold with her hands, and here's the significance of what the spider does. The spider is in king's palaces. Now, let me say a word to you about the word spider there. There is a little controversy between the scholars. Was it talking about, some of them say, a spider, kind of like you and I would know, that spins a web? Others, because of what the Hebrew word is, says that it could have been like a little lizard, like a gecko. And he said, here's the truth about whether you want to believe that it's a spider, as we know, or a gecko, takes hold with her hands, and here's the important part, and is in king's palaces. Now, what's the significance of that? Whether it's a spider that spins a web or it's a gecko, it is diligent and ends up going everywhere, including the palace of a king. There's no place it is not diligent enough to finally go. These are four qualities that ought to be true in the heart of the child of God. We ought to be those who plan ahead. We ought to be those who recognize danger and make preparations there. We ought to be those like locusts that work together, and we ought to be like these spiders or lizards, whichever they are, who are so diligent that we stay at what we're doing, and there's no place that we do not ultimately are willing to go. Quite a lesson there, four things, small things, each of those considered weak things that are very wise. Folks, just because you're weak doesn't mean you can't be wise. Isn't that good? Really is. All right, now in verse 29 through 31, we're going to find four proud things. Let's see what's in verse 29. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. Four proud things. You can see the pride there. Comely means stately. Let's see what they are. First of all, verse 30, a lion. You've seen the lion on the television. I've had men who go for big game hunt say you can hear one roar 5 miles. He is considered the king of the jungle. Proud. Look at the next one. After the lion, which is strongest among the beasts and turns not away for any, he mentions the word greyhound. That's not a dog as you and I know it. That's referred to in the Hebrew language as a horse. Did you ever see the horses walk so stately and prance? And that's what he says these are. They're four proud things. The horse. Then notice he not only mentions the greyhound, which is the horse, but he said a he-goat. You ever been around a billy goat? You said, yeah, I worked with one. That's not what I'm talking about. He's proud. You turn your back and you may find out how proud he is. Billy goats will do what? They will butt you. And you will know it when they do. Prideful. And then he said, there's one more thing I want to call attention to that's proud. After he said a he-goat also, he said, and a king against whom there is no rising up. Obviously with the thought that the king has his army. And he too is proud. Those are four proud things. You suppose there's ever a lion that meets his match? Of course. Do you suppose there's ever a horse that for various reasons, be it age or disease or attack from other animals, gets to where he can't prance like he once did? Yes. Do you suppose a billy goat ever gets to where, because of age or disease, he can't butt like he once did? Mm-hmm. Do you suppose that king, however mighty and however absolutely marvelous is his army, do you suppose there's ever a time that he no longer reigns? Yes. Who ruled the world on one occasion? Rome. Is Rome really ruling the world? Wonder what happened. Folks, all of these things, as wonderful as they are, and I think a horse that prances is pretty. I understand that. I understand the magnitude of that lion and all of its greatness. But we must understand that however prideful one could be, that too shall pass. And we do not hang our harps on anything that passes away. So be mindful of proud things. I think the writer in part wanted us to know this is true. He doesn't even speak against it, but this too is passing. So that's through verse, I believe, 28 we verse 31 that we read there. So now let's look at verse 32 and 33. And here are two things that we want to cease. Two things to stop. Verse 32. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself. Now, what is lifting up yourself? That's pride again. So if you've done foolishly in lifting up yourself, or if you have thought evil, lay your hand upon your mouth. So he says, if you've been foolish in exalting yourself, stop it. You need, he said, to meditate on this matter. And then there's a second thing that is found in verse 33. Surely the churning of milk will bring forth butter. That's true. And the wringing of the nose will bring forth blood. That's true. So the forcing of wrath brings forth strife, contention, division. What does he say here? If you're somebody just like the one who churns the milk gets the butter, somebody that wrings the nose gets blood, if you are one that continues to force wrath, you're prodding people. If you're one who prods others to anger, then what's happening is you're bringing forth contention, and that's very unwise, and you need to stop it. You better meditate upon this matter, says the writer. Now, can I draw some conclusions tonight from both studies? First of all, Agur realized God's wisdom was greater than his own. That would be a good thing for you and I to acknowledge tonight. However passionate we feel about something, check out what God had to say. His wisdom's greater than ours. Secondly, he understood, Agur did, the temptation of riches. Riches can be used for the glory of God. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Don't you thank the Lord? I thank the Lord for Christian philanthropists. I thank the Lord, though, for the faithful people of God who just give of what God entrusted them out of obedience. That is such a wonderful thing. See, you and I may never be a Truett Cathy with millions that we could do something with, but we've got something we can do something with. That's a wonderful thing. So Agur understood the temptation of riches. Thirdly, he knew many aspects of life and of God's creation would remain a mystery beyond his own understanding. You know, I wonder at times in the summer, I am a person that my entire life, mosquitoes have loved me more than Beth. If Beth loved me and ate on me like mosquitoes do, there wouldn't be nothing left. I don't know that I'll want to or I'll get to, but there are times down here I'm thinking, Lord, why did you make a mosquito? Folks, there's lots of things of God's creation I won't understand down here. But I can see his handiwork in all of creation. And I can see by the creation that there's a mighty and marvelous creator. And isn't it good you can have a personal relationship with him? There's a fourth thing. Agur knew the importance of controlling anger and avoiding foolishness and living for God. Controlling your anger. If you don't control your anger will control you. He knew, along with that, avoiding foolishness. He doesn't mean to be, he doesn't mean there to be happy. He doesn't mean there to have good-natured teasing. He's talking about a bunch of foolishness that ends up bringing hurt and harm and destruction. And a lot of foolishness does that. What the world calls sometimes a party is nothing more than chaos. Boy, I know it would really upset my dad. We'd have people come by. Never mind, it was a federal offense. And at night, they would, I don't know if they used a fence post or a baseball bat, but boy, they'd tear up mailboxes. One night, our phone rang. I was somewhere around, I must have been 16 because I already had my shotgun. And our phone rang, and it was the neighbor saying, we're trying to tip you off. Somebody has rolled our entire yard. Their yard is very big. and said they've rolled it with toilet paper, and whoever it is, we can't tell in the dark, they're headed your way. Well, man, I just grabbed my pants and jerked them on and told my dad what was happening. And so I ran outside with my shotgun and shells in my pocket and in the dark, bow! You know, I did that, and boy, when I did that, my neighbor, whose wife called, hollered, "Don't shoot! It's Leonard Fleming!" Well, about that time, bow, I did it again. And he said, "Don't shoot, don't shoot, it's Leonard Fleming." Well, by that time, my brother, who had served in Vietnam, he didn't know what was going on, but out the door he came with his shotgun. And we turned on the floodlights, and my dad was coming out of the house up into the front yard putting his belt in his pants. And we found who the people were, and of all things, a mother had driven her children in her car to roll other people's yards. I liked what my neighbor said to that mother. He shined his light in her face and said, "I am surprised. It's only because you're who you are that I don't prosecute you. And you better be back at this house in the morning at 8 o'clock with these boys and clean up the mess you've made." Which is what he should have said. Yeah. Folks, that's not fun. That's foolishness. And people work hard to have a place that looks like something when somebody else wants it to look like a circus. It's kind of humorous. The kid said, "Oh, man, it wasn't when Wayne shot that gun. Said it was when we saw Mr. Robertson come out with that belt. Boy, that's what bothered us." I thought, there's some kids that didn't have enough of one. Now, can I say something to you? Check what you do for fun and ask the question, does this hurt anybody? Can this set anybody back? Can this discourage somebody, or can it cost somebody money? Now, confession is good for the soul. As a grown person, as a pastor, I've been a part of helping people roll something. I took Bill and Martha Sturm, what Beth and I did, off so that the kids could roll their motorhome. And we brought them, they phoned us and told us when they had it finished. And we brought them back so that I could hear, "My soul and body." That's what Bill Sturm said. But let me tell you why that really wasn't foolish. It was the plan all along to have some fun, and we're cleaning it up. And they cleaned it up. Didn't do anything to destroy it. You know, some people for fun throw eggs at vehicles. Did you know you're ruining a paint job when you do that? Folks, that's not fun. That's foolishness. And you say, "Well, we didn't know." Well, you ought to find out before you do that. Find out before you do that. So Agur knew the importance of keeping your anger under control, avoid foolishness, and just make up your mind that I'm going to spend my days living for God. And Paul reminded young Timothy, "Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example." And he gave what there to be an example in. So that's good at any age. I get a little bit sick of this thing that, you know, we've got to do something to tune in to youth. Folks, we don't have to tune in to youth. We want youth to tune in to Jesus, and we're all on the same path. That's what we need. Well, number five, Agur encouraged his readers to refrain from a life that dishonored God that would result in judgment. That's a wise thing. And lastly, number six, Agur encouraged life to be lived with a proper fear of God and a concern for others. I want to tell you something. The youngest person in the room to the oldest, one of these days you're going to leave here. You really are. I hope you don't leave soon, but you're leaving here. There'll come a day when on this earth no longer resides my name and yours. And when you leave, you will have touched some people, hopefully. You will have touched some for the better and maybe touched some for the worse. And I can't go back and fix the ones I have touched for the worse. But I can determine today that I want to fear, that is, reverence God, and spend my days helping a concern for other people to help them so that when I finally leave, I would have left a pathway that pointed people to a Savior and have left an impression in their lives that they're going to really miss the contribution that I've been making when I'm gone. Folks, I wonder the way some people live when they're gone. A week later, is anybody really going to miss them? Maybe more importantly about others, is anybody going to miss? Am I making enough contribution anybody would miss me? And it's not about remembering me. It's about remembering the God who I say is worthy of serving and living for. Agur knew that. These are matters you and I need to meditate on. Let's pray together. Our Father, you tell us in your word that foolishness is wrapped up in the heart of a child, and the truth of the matter is when a child finally turns 18 or 21, all the foolishness isn't gone. You really could be the pastor of a church and have a heart full of foolishness and do things that does not help people, that can hurt people, can scar people. Help us to live our days pondering and meditating on these things, so that we will live in the reverence of Almighty God and a concern for others in a world that pulls us all downward. May we be one of those servants that will do our best to pull people upward, to lend a helping hand, to have a prayerful heart, to have a life that is always pointing others in the direction of the Savior, so that when we are gone, may those who come behind us have found us faithful. And may there be enough fire of our devotion that would help light their way. May all that we do and all that we commit ourselves to cause others to want to be committed to you. Thank you for your word, these practical words of wisdom, matters that we need to meditate on. May we not soon forget them, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? This is our hymn of invitation.